about Bible doctrine. And tonight I want to talk about regeneration, new birth, or being born again, whichever you want to call it. And we find that tonight in John chapter number 3 when Jesus had a conversation with Nicodemus. And I want to show you tonight as we get into this study what Nicodemus had going for him, but he wasn't born again. I want to show you tonight what Nicodemus had in his corner, and I mean, a pretty good bit, but he wasn't born again. And tonight I want to show you that on being born again. Let's just get into the Bible. John chapter number 3 and verse number 1, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's word tonight. Regeneration or born again. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher coming from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can these things be? Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Lord, I just want to say I thank you that you saved my life. I want to thank you tonight that I am born again. I am washed in the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven. Lord, I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I thank you for the blood. I thank you for the mercy seat. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for Calvary. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you tonight, Father, for everything that goes on in this place. Lord, I thank you right now for what you're doing, moving on people's hearts. Lord, I thank you for the prayer request that was mentioned tonight. Lord, I pray for that little boy, the little Bryant, Lord God, that you'd move on that baby. You'd move on that mind. You'd move on that heart. You'd move on that spirit, Lord God, that you would just help that young man in a mighty way. I know he's maybe around 2 years of age, but Father, I pray you'd reach down from heaven and do what only you can do, Father. Lord, I pray tonight for everyone in this room. Lord, I pray for the carpenters that's going to be coming. Father, we know what's going to be going on. We know we're going to try to be sifted by the old devil, as Brother Tony's done said. Lord, we know there's attacks on every corner. But we know tonight, Father God, that you're on the throne and you're right where you need to be tonight, Father, in our lives. And Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you that you're my Savior. I thank you that you're my King. I thank you that you're my Lord. And Lord, I pray tonight you hide me behind the cross. Lord, I pray tonight that you illuminate my mind, loosen my tongue, guard my throat, and guard my thoughts. Let everything I say be all about you and nothing about me. Father, I thank you that I can talk to you, and you are my Father. I love you, and I thank you. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight, as we come and we talk about the regeneration, the new birth, or being born again tonight, as we come tonight in John chapter number 3, it is the greatest, one of the greatest sermons ever preached by Jesus. When Jesus preached this sermon to Nicodemus in John chapter number 3, we understand that Jesus was talking to a man that came to him. Now, Nicodemus came to where Jesus was, and with an inquiring mind about being saved. And you say, well, preacher, I don't see that in the text. I don't see where Nicodemus come about wanting to be saved. The words of Nicodemus does not indicate this, but Jesus' response or Jesus' answer to his heart and not his words. See, Jesus answers the heart and not our words. When Nicodemus come, he was talking, but he really wasn't talking about what he wanted to talk about. So Jesus said, except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Who's mentioned that? Nicodemus didn't mention that. Nicodemus said, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered. See, Nicodemus brought one way, but Jesus answered the right way. You know, in our lives, that's the same thing that happens in our life. When we get born again, we get washed in the blood of Jesus. He's the ones that initiates that conversation. You say, preacher, what is that tonight? In this sermon, Jesus taught him a great fundamental truth, which is regeneration or born again. Tonight, please never get over being born again. Don't let nothing take place over it or anything that you've been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you get over getting saved, you're in trouble. Amen? Never get over being saved. So he told him a great fundamental truth, which is regeneration or born again. So tonight I want to look at what Nicodemus had going for him when he came to Jesus. I want to look at what he had going for him when he came to where Jesus was. If you look with me in verse number one, I say that Nicodemus was a religious man. Nicodemus was a religious man. When we started worship tonight, we sung a song talking to Jesus. And he said, this is not a religion. It's not a religion tonight when you talk to Jesus. It's a relationship tonight. Nicodemus was a religious man. I see that in verse number one, where the Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. I'm talking about he was a religious man. He knew things that most people wouldn't know. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the Mosaic Law. He knew the Ten Commandments. He knew what to do. He knew how to keep it. He could quote you literally the Bible. He could quote you things in the Bible that was written down. He was a very religious man, but he did not know the new birth. He did not know what it was to be born again or washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm sad to say, and I'm afraid to say tonight, that there's a lot of people that sit on pews and stand in pulpits that's never been regenerated, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Tonight is a religion. They growed up in it. Their papa was in it. Their mama was in it. Their daddy went to church. Their mama went to church. Their papa was a elder in the church. Their grandma was of this in the church. It was this or that all the way. And they never had that new birth in Jesus Christ, which is a religion. It's not a religion. Religion is what we do. Now, religion is what we get caught up in and what we do. But salvation is what God gives us. Amen? So tonight I want to give you this. The regeneration is what God does for us by His Spirit. Religion is great for a saved person. I wrote this down. Religion is great for a saved person. Now, I want to say this. Once you get saved, you ought to live a religious life. Once you get saved. But it is worth nothing for an unsaved person. Religion is not being born again. Being religious does not mean that you're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I see in verse number one, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, a rabbi, master, teacher. He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And I see this tonight. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? I want to stop right here. I say to you, Nicodemus was a religious man, but I also say that Nicodemus was a civilized man. He wasn't a man that you would see out in the bars. He ain't a man that you would see out running around on his wife. He's not a man that you would see out doing ungodly things. This man, if you looked at him, you would think that he was a man of God. You would think that he knew God. He would line up with the Bible. He would line up with what the Ten Commandments said. He would line up in what he was supposed to eat. He would line up in what he was supposed to do in his life. I say to you that he was an educated man. To be a ruler as he was, he had to be an educated man. He wasn't a dumb man. He was a smart man. He was a man that knew the Bible. He knew what to teach. He knew what to say. He knew all the right words. Can I say to you, he wasn't only an educated man, but he was a sophisticated man. If you looked at this man, he in his dress, the way he carried himself, you'd say that man's well put together. He knows what he's talking about. He knows where he is. But can I say to you tonight, being educated is not being saved. Can I say to you tonight, being sophisticated is not being saved. Hey, can I say to you tonight, being well put together and dressed and having everything good, a bank account full of money, your family running good, everything going good, that is not being born again tonight. You say, preacher, what is that? But being civilized is not being born again. It's not that tonight. When Nicodemus come, he knew when he come to Jesus, he was missing something and he wanted what he was missing. Tonight, I want to say this to you. Anybody that's lost, they have a hole, they have an emptiness in their life, and there's only one thing that'll fill it, and that is God and God alone. I say to you tonight, Nicodemus, now this is a fundamental truth that needs to be preached in every church. A man must be born again, not baptized. Hello, baptism is not salvation. Baptism is not being born again. The Lord's Supper is not being born again. Being a member of Union Chapel does not mean that you are born again. Even though if you're a member, you should be born again. Even if you're baptized, you should be born again. You should not be baptized lost. You should not take the Lord's Supper if you're lost. Nicodemus was a religious man. Nicodemus was a civilized man. But I want you to get this. Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin court and a ruler of the synagogue. That means that he was top dog. He knew what he was talking about. If he walked in this place, he'd know your Old Testament. I'm talking about better than anybody you've ever seen. He'd know the Ten Commandments. He'd know everything that is going on. He could tell you what happened in Genesis. He could lay that Bible out for you. He could tell you everything going on because he was educated and he was a member of the Sanhedrin court and a ruler of the synagogue. But that is not being born again. The position I hold does not mean that I'm born again. The position that you hold in this church does not mean that you're born again. Just because you got a title, just because you got a plaque hanging on your wall, just because you've been ordained, just because you've been set apart, that does not mean that you've been born again. You should be born again before you have that position. Amen. But that is not being born again just because of the position he held. Let me give you this. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 16. I say this tonight with all readiness tonight, that I believe in my heart tonight that a person must get to that place that nothing shakes their salvation. Now, it may shake a lot going on in their life, but their foundation should be on Jesus Christ. Okay? So I see tonight Nicodemus was a religious man, he was a civilized man, and he was a member of the Sanhedrin, but that does not mean that he was saved. In Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 16, I want to read this for you. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. A man will never be justified by the works of the law. You can keep the Ten Commandments all your life, but you will break one of them because you can't keep them all. He says this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. So how do you get born again? By Jesus Christ. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. The works that I do and the works you do cannot save us. Now let me say this and back up. After you are saved, you ought to be able to produce good works according to the Word of God. After a person is saved, they ought to be able to produce good works. And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So I say tonight that no man be justified. So I leave you here. I leave you with this tonight as we go on into this. That Nicodemus, I see where he was in his life and what he had going on, but he was not saved at this point. So you say, preacher, what is regeneration or what is being born again? What is that tonight? Look with me in verse number 8, if you will. I want to show you what Jesus related to here of being born again. Here's what Jesus related to. He said, he told Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. The wind, everybody went outside today, I'm sure. The wind was blowing. The wind was blowing. Now, I couldn't tell where it was coming from. I don't know where it come from. I just know it blowed. You ever been to the beach? You ever been down there to the ocean and you sit on that beach? And I don't know where that wind, I just know it feels good. I can't tell you where it comes from. I know it comes from God, but I know it feels good. Look what he said. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it comes and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You say, so what is regeneration, or what is being born again? What is being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? What is the big deal of this? What is the big deal to say that you've got to know that you're born again? What's that big deal, preacher? It's eternity on it. It's eternity on it. And that's why we stand on that. In the faith that we're in the Baptist faith, we stand on being born again, to being regenerated or being born again, having a new life, except a man be born again. What happens? The old man dies and a new man's born. A new life comes. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said it's like the wind. He said it's like the wind. You can't explain the wind. Nobody in this place can explain the wind. The other night when the tornadoes was coming on, they was trying to predict where it was going to hit, but they couldn't pinpoint it 100%. They can look at it, they can sit, but they can't explain it. Jesus said it's like the wind. You can't explain the wind. You can know it's blowing. You can hear it. You can feel it and see its effect, but you can't understand it. Folks, I did not understand being born again until I was born again. The moment when I got saved, I didn't know nothing about it. All I knew is I was in trouble and I needed a Savior. All I knew, something was tearing my inside out. And if you've never had that, you need to get that. Well, that inside of you is raging, wanting peace, wanting what God can give you. It's raging on the inside. And when you call on His name, you know what He does? He comes in there and He takes that turmoil and that mess and all of that, and He removes it in the name of Jesus. And there's a peace that comes inside of you. He said, preacher, do you still get in turmoil? Man, do I? Do I get in turmoil? Yes, I get in turmoil. But you know what it takes to get that off me? You know what it takes? But here's what Satan will keep you from doing. When you're in turmoil and you've got a mess going on in your life and there's chaos all around your mind and it's just flying around and you don't know what to do, he'll keep you from getting on your knees. He'll keep you talking about it. He'll keep you walking in it. He'll keep you everywhere you need to be, but on your knees. But you know what? I know this. I can go 5 days, 10 days, 15 days, 20 days, 25 days. And as long as I want to go in that chaos, I'll go because I got a free will. I don't have to get on my knees. But I'll go as far as I can go until I get on my knees, if that makes any sense. And all I do is I just get down. And I say, God, I can't go no further. Lord, I need a peace that passes all understanding. You say, are you getting saved again? No, I ain't getting saved again. But I'm going back to what I did when I got saved. God, I humbled myself before Almighty God. And I said, God, I'm in a mess. I need you to touch me now. I need you to heal me now. I need you to hear me now. I need you to help me now. I don't need it tomorrow. I need it tonight. I need it today. You said, preacher, when does it come? The next day or 10 days later? Oh, no, my friend. It's instant. It's instant. The problem's still there, but the pain's gone. Hello? Hey, have you ever been there? The problem's still there, but the pain's gone. Hey, I can deal with the problem. I just can't deal with the pain. The pain's what hurts. The pain's what bothers me. The problem ain't what bothers me. It's the pain that I feel on the inside. And Nicodemus said, I got something missing, and I don't know what to do about it. And he said, Rabbi, can you tell me? Can you show me? Can you give me any insight? And here's what Jesus said. And Jesus said, it is like the wind. And you said, preacher, explain that to me. And I'm going to write you down how I see this happening or how it happened in my life. You don't know where it's coming, and you don't know where it's going. All you know is this, that you need to be born again. So it is with being born again, this is what happens. The third person of the divine Trinity comes into the dead soul of man. Listen. You don't know where it's coming, but you know it's coming. The third person of the Trinity, and let me explain him to you. He's the Holy Ghost. It's not an it, he's a he. He's the third person of the Trinity. A lost man, when he knocks on your heart's door, he comes, he enters. He enters. He says, I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking on that heart's door. That's as close as you'll ever be to God right there. At that moment, he's knocking. He's come down, he's knocking on your heart's door. You have the opportunity to open the door and receive him or reject him. You know why people are so miserable that reject him? Because they've been that close to him. You know why Judas Iscariot went out and hung himself? Because he kissed the Son of God. He kissed Jesus Christ. He put his lips on the Master. But he was still lost. You can touch him all you want. You can reach out. But until he comes in, Judas kissed him. In the garden, he kissed him, gave him away, touched his lips to him. But he was still lost. Nicodemus said, I know a lot. But I need to know more. I need a relationship. I need something. It's the third person of the Trinity. He comes down to that lost person's heart and he knocks on that heart's door. I want to do this verbatim. I don't want to mess up. Let me give you this. The third person of the divine Trinity comes into the dead soul of a man and causes him to see his need of salvation. If you believe what I just told you, say amen. The third person of the Trinity now comes down. Now it can't happen 10 different ways. It can only happen one way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Here's what he said. The third person of the divine Trinity comes down into the dead soul of man and causes him to see his need of salvation. Nobody ever knew they need to be saved without the Spirit showing them. Don't you ever let anybody tell you had enough common sense. You didn't have enough about you. I didn't have enough about me. I'd have kept going that way. Except him. He hung on the cross. He hung on the cross. He's the one that draws. It comes down and shows me my need of salvation. I see that. And I see I need his divine help. At that person, if he or she will call upon God out of a broken heart, amen? Out of a broken heart, and the divine spirit imparts to him or her a new life. When that spirit comes down and shows you what you really are. And you give your and you repent and you say, Lord, I want you. At that moment is a new life, like he did in creation's morning, touches the darkness and orders light spiritually in a person's life. I've heard people say all the time, I can't understand that Bible, I can't understand nothing it says. First thing I ask them, are you saved? You won't understand it until he takes the veil off your eyes.
He said he hides this book.
So he orders that light. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis. Man, I want to get through this. Oh boy, I've been thinking. Man, I love this preaching on being saved. Amen. Something about it. I've been there before. Huh? And that spirit stays with you. Once you let him in, he don't go back out. He don't crawl out. He don't jump out. He stays in. And that's why people that are saved trying to live like they're lost, they're so miserable. There's a war going on inside of you. Do you know when you was lost, you did what you wanted to do and you didn't care? Can anybody get a witness? But when you got saved, you might want to try to ease back a little bit. And there's a war going on inside because somebody else is living in you. There's a new birth, regeneration, new. In Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1. And the earth was without form. Look what he says. The earth was without form and void. What's the first thing he did there when he seen it was out without form and without void? He knew we was without form on the inside when we was void. And we needed that spot inside of us filled. We was empty. Empty. What'd he do? And the Spirit of God moved. Look. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be. And there was light. Just as simple as he spoke it right there, the same thing he'll do in your heart and in my heart when he comes in. He said, preacher, how long does it take? When he says, let it be, it'll be. When you call on his name, he says, it'll be, it'll be. Let me move on here. You know, so I want to share this with you on being born again, because you may be saved in here. Somebody asks you how to be born again, and you may not, you know you're saved, but to back it with the Bible, I want to give you this. Number one, you're born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 7. Turn with me there, please. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 7. Nicodemus said, how can I be? And Jesus told him the truth. I want to show you Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 7. You're born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. When he shed that blood on Calvary's cross, that gives you the opportunity to be saved in me. It gave me the opportunity. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You're saved by the blood that he shed on the Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. Number two, you're born again by his grace. He shed his blood, but it is his grace that brings it to you. Oh, glory! He shed it, and it's his grace that says, here you go. Here you go. I'm going to let you have it freely. Brother Charles, I'm going to let you have something freely, amen? I'm going to give you something freely. I'm going to give you something that you don't deserve one bit, but I'm going to give it to you freely. And that's my blood, is what he said. Look with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8. Nobody in this room deserved it, but he gave it to us freely. Woo, glory. Born again by the blood. Born again by his grace. All this is in one. Born again by his blood. Born again by his grace. For by grace, his goodness, his mercy. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That blood that he shed on Calvary's cross, it was a gift. That grace that he's giving you eternal life. He's giving you through the blood of his son. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not of works, it's of grace. We're born again by the blood. We're born again by his grace. And we're born again by repentance. By repentance. All right. Here's what he does. He took the blood. He shed it on Calvary's cross. His grace, he's brought it. Brother David, put it right in your face. Here it is. Now it's up to you if you want it or not. He puts it right. You put it in everybody's face, preacher? Puts it in everybody's face. Does everybody accept it, preacher? I hate to tell you, no, they don't. Does everybody have an opportunity to accept it? Yes, they do. He takes that blood. By his grace, he brings it, knocks on your heart's door, and says, here it is. How do I receive it at that moment? I'm under conviction. I'm under the Holy Ghost. He's knocking on my heart's door. The blood's done been shed on Calvary. His grace has done brought it down to me. What do I need to do to accept it? Repent. Repent. I'm a sinner. You're the Savior. I'm wrong. You're right. I'm filthy. You're not. I need saving. And you're the Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Come into me. Wash me. Make me clean. Lord, I need you. I need you. Come into my life. Open that door. Let him come in. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. God laid this on my heart. Come in. You let him in. Freely in. He freely comes in. Because you repented. He cannot save nobody that won't repent. He won't. He said, well, I ain't that bad. For all sin and come short of the glory of God. Turn with me, if you will, on the repentance. Turn with me to that, to Luke chapter 13 and verse number 5. Luke 13 and 5. I want to show you this tonight. Luke 13 and 5. And here's what I'm saying. He had the blood at Calvary. His grace brings it right to your face. And by repentance, it can enter in. When we repent, we ask the Lord to forgive us. Forgive us. I'm going to stop right here. You say, well, that's easy. You know how hard it is to repent? If I've done David Barnes wrong, and I know I've done him wrong, and I've offended him 110%, listen to me. I don't know about y'all women. I don't know what y'all do, okay? I ain't never been a woman. I ain't going to be a woman. I know what I was born. When I was born, I was born a man, and that's what I am. Can I get an amen? You ain't got to ask me. I know what I am. But if, glory to God. But if I've offended David Barnes, and I know I've offended him, and I know I've done him wrong. I'm talking about sorry wrong. You ever been done that way? Yeah, come on, shake your head. I've done him sorry wrong. I come, well, how you doing, Dave? You doing all right, man? All right, man. Good. Have a good day, man. See you. Has that fixed anything? Made it worse. Instead of patting, I'm really knifing him. But when I come up to where David is and I say, hey, man, look, man, I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? He says, yeah. Reconciliation. New birth. Our relationships open back up. We're back where we need to be. When a man's lost and he asks Jesus Christ to save him, there's nobody he'll ever turn away or turn down. He's not in the turning down business. He's in the saving business. And he does that because we need to repent. He said, preacher, will it do you any good? Even after you get saved, if you got an alt with somebody, you can't pray like you should. You can't read your Bible like you should. You can't love like you should. You can't do none of that till you forgive. You say, well, repentance, that's easy to be saved. That's the hardest thing a person does, is to admit they're wrong and he's right. Let me show you this. Luke chapter 13, verse number 5 on repentance, and I got to hurry. Luke 13 and 5, the Bible says, I tell you, this is Jesus. He said, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Except you repent, you're going to perish. Born again by the blood. Born again by His grace that brings that blood to your life. Born again when He gets there and you repent. You say, Lord, save me. And you're born again by faith in Christ Jesus. When you repent, what are you putting your faith in? Jesus Christ. Nothing else but Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 16 and verse number 30 tonight. Acts 16 and verse number 30. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is His blood. It's Jesus' grace. Jesus even told us to repent and put faith in Him. Acts 16 and verse number 30. Let me show you this tonight. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Now, I don't know if they could sing or not, but I know they got a hold of heaven. Hello? I don't know if they could pray or not, but I know they got a hold of heaven. Amen? Because it said they prayed and they sang and heaven came down. And look what he says in verse 30. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And here's what Paul and Silas told the jailer. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. I want to give you this before we let them come in. I want to give you this. Regeneration, the new birth, or being born again, is only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Brought to us by His grace, and when a person truly repents and puts his faith in Jesus Christ, at that moment, they're born again. At that moment, they're saved. Nobody's in heaven, that's how they're saved. Man lost, listen, man's lost by doubting or disbelieving God's word. That's what started it all. That's what started all in the Garden of Eden. What did Satan ask the woman? Said, did he really say that? Did God really say that? She started doubting him. She started disbelieving him. That's where the sin curse come. It didn't come by the woman, it come by Adam. Listen to me. When he took of that fruit, he knew not to take of it. He knew not to. He knew not to. What is it now? Disbelief is what started it. What's going to stop it in your life? By believing. By believing that Jesus Christ is
the Son of God.
Believe that, and you say, preacher, we're all saved in here. I don't know that. I don't know that. I pray everybody in here is saved every time they come to church. But I'm not going to be on the assumption that they are saved. There's only one person I can give account for. Hello, that's me. But you need to know how you're saved and how it came to you. It came to you because He shed His blood. It came to you because His grace brought it right there to you. You couldn't go to it. He came to you. He came to you and brought it right there to you. And when you repented and you asked Him to come in your life and you believed on the name of Jesus Christ, at that moment that person is saved. Saved for eternity. Saved for glory. Saved for kingdom work. Saved. 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 So I'm going to ask you tonight, this right here, and I just wrote this down, very simple. Do you believe? Do you believe it? I believe He is Lord, brother. I sure do. I believe that 100%. We sung a song a while ago, I trust in God. I trust in God. I trust in His finished work. I trust in the work on the cross of Calvary, what He's done in my life. How He saved me, washed me, and made me. And the greatest miracle that I have in my life, that I know that He saved me, is the work of the Holy Spirit inside of me. Hey, I'm not going on the prayer I prayed because I can't remember it verbatim, word for word. I know I prayed and asked Him. I can't remember word for word. I'm going on the person that I put my faith in. That's Jesus Christ. I'm not going on my works because my works ain't good enough, the Bible tells me. Okay? I'm not going on the position I hold behind that pulpit because that won't save me. What saved me is Jesus Christ. He saved me. So tonight, if anybody asks you about the hope that lives inside of you, you make sure you tell them it's by that new birth that I've been born again. If you don't think I'm telling the truth, you ask people if they're saved, or you ask them do they know Jesus, and you'll be surprised if people will tell you this right here, I'm born again. That word's about that obsolete in the world we live in. Obsolete. Why? Because it identifies with Jesus. Here's what they'll say. Yeah, I'm a follower. I remember that movie, Do You Believe? The guy's carrying the cross. And he comes up to that road intersection. Brother Dylan's got it up there somewhere. I sent it to him. I ain't used it yet. I'm telling you about it tonight. But he come up to the crosswalk. He's back. He steps back. And the preacher pulls up. And he asked him, he said, do you believe? He said, man, I'm a preacher. He said, I didn't ask you if you was a preacher. I asked you, do you believe? And man, that struck a chord in that man's life. Struck a chord. Tonight, as your pastor, I'm just asking you a simple question. It's got a big implement. Do you believe? To a believer, that should not offend him. That should not offend her. Our faith is in Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, right now as we come to time of invitation and the kids are going to come in just a moment, Lord, I pray, Father, that you move in a mighty way. Lord, I'm asking you to reach down from heaven. Lord, I'm praying for my class here that's in this sanctuary right now. Father, I'm praying for the ones that's heard the word tonight. Lord, I'm praying for the ones tonight that has lost loved ones that need to be saved. Lord, tonight that we can share that plan of salvation and encourage them and uplift them and motivate them in the right way, Father. And Lord, a lot of times, the time they'll see Jesus is by the way we walk and by the way we handle ourselves. And Lord, I pray right now that everything we say and we do be honored and pleasing and glorified to your name. Father, I love you. Father, I praise you. Father, I glorify you. I ask it in no other name but the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. All of God's people say, amen.